What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
I've got Ross Clifford on the phone. Good morning to you, Ross.
Good morning, Rodney.
It's our time to talk spirituality and belief, and an interesting one today, talking about a man named Anthony Flew. I reckon there'd be a lot of people who perhaps haven't heard of him, so maybe you can introduce us to him.
Anthony Flew is the world's most notorious atheist. That is what he says of himself. He is the world's leading atheist. He is the world's most notorious atheist. He has been the one out there philosophically and otherwise who has made the strongest case against a belief in God. In fact, a parable that he created, which I won't share now, this parable that he created is seen as the defining parable as to why one would not believe in God. Mate, Anthony Flew is the Pope, if you're a Catholic or if you're a Protestant, the Billy Graham of atheism.
So he's someone who, for many years, has looked into things, he's tried to discover whether there really is a God, and he came to the conclusion, there is no God.
Yep, there is no God for him, and he was raised as a son of a Methodist minister. He went to the universities of Cambridge and Oxford. He's now 83 years old, so he's had a long life of rejection of Christianity and following atheism. We need to remember, though, Rodney, he is not what we call an angry atheist. Some of the French are seen as angry atheists. He was an atheist simply because he believed that's where the evidence took him. He had no objection to people believing in God. He just didn't believe there was evidence sufficient for that. And that's how he ordered his life, because he believed the evidence pointed to no God.
But something changed over the last few years, didn't it?
Yes, over the last few years, and he's put out a new book. And can I encourage everyone to get hold of it? It is extraordinary. It's well written. It is not long. The book is called There Is a God. He's crossed out the word no and put There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. Mate, it's dynamite. It's readable. It's extraordinary stuff.
I guess we've got to ask, what is it that changed his mind? If he's someone who has looked at the evidence year after year and has been someone who has spoken to people all the world round and told them there is no God, and yet now he's changed his mind, that can't be something that's just happened overnight.
No, it's been a process over the last few years, academics say in England, that this man has now started asking questions of where the science, where the evidence is going. He makes it clear. It's not because he's approaching death. It's not because he's fearful of death. He said he had no fear of death. It is happening because what he believes is happening in cosmology and happening with respect to biology. What we are learning about our own makeup and what we are learning about the origins of the world, they are the two things that are now driving him to God. Do you want me to unpack those a little bit?
Yeah, tell us a bit more.
Well, what's happening in biology is quite straightforward. He says when you look at the DNA now, you know, the DNA that makes us up, you and me up, when you look at the DNA, what we now know about the DNA points to a complexity that demands a mind. It couldn't have happened by chance. When you look at my makeup, your makeup, the DNA makeup of human beings, human life, there's a complexity, he says, that now science knows points to a mind beyond the DNA. And as to cosmology, he simply says, when we look at our universe now, we know it's not infinite. There's been discussions about that in the past. We know there are not infinite universes out there. We know that our universe clearly had a beginning. There was clearly a commencement. A commencement for the universe points to something beyond the universe. He's come to a conclusion that first cause for the universe points to a mind, and our DNA makeup points to a mind. He does this very simply. He's been reading. Mate, this guy has been debating Christians around the world, America and England, all over the place, on platforms over atheism, hearing all the discussion, debating, and he's come to the conclusion of a matter of integrity. All that he's heard, all that he's seen, all that he's read now leads him to say there is a mind, a mind beyond us, a mind that we call God.
This is very interesting, and I suppose that the atheists around the world are now looking at this and saying, well, hang on, has he lost his marbles? What's going on?
And you can't say that. That's the interesting thing, because he's based it all on the evidence. what he now knows science and biology and things are saying. And, mate, he is the leader. He is the Pope. He is the Billy Graham of atheism. It's absolutely extraordinary. And he writes so well. And, mate, it calls us all, Rodney, I think, those of us who believe, and whatever level of belief that might be, is to stand up and cheer. I mean, when you read the book, what basically it is saying is it takes more faith not to believe in an eternal mind, in an eternal intelligent designer who we know as God. It takes more faith, you know, not to believe in that than it does to believe in that.
I suppose over the years, we've been told that as we discover more and more, and there are more scientific discoveries, and we understand more about our planet and what's going on, there is less and less reason to believe in a God, because all these things are being explained. But here, we have the reverse. Someone who is learning more and more, learning more about, as you say, biology and cosmology, and saying, I've learned so much more, and it doesn't tell me that there is no God. It tells me that there must be a God.
Absolutely, and you take that stuff out there by some of the new atheists that are out there, like Dawkins, you know, the God delusion and some of that stuff that are bestsellers in our bookshop. If you've got anybody reading that and have been impressed by it or concerned by it, get hold of Anthony's Flew book, There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. Dawkins and others are, you know, are reputable in their own right, but, mate, this guy is at the highest level. He's saying the exact opposite. He's saying new atheism has got it wrong. In fact, he's got a little appendix on that. When you look at how evidence is today, it's drawing me back to the fact that there is a mind. Can I read his concluding comment? It's just extraordinary, Rodney. This is how the book finishes. He says, the discovery of phenomena like the laws of nature has led scientists, philosophers, and others to accept the evidence of an intelligent, infinite mind. He says, some claim to have made contact with this mind. I have not yet. But who knows what could happen next? Someday I might hear a voice that says, can you hear me now? That's how the book finishes.
Rodney Olsen here, talking to Ross Clifford. We're talking about Anthony Flew, who was the world's most notorious atheist, and he's changed his mind a little. We're looking at his latest book, There Is a God. And it's interesting, Ross, that we're saying that he now believes that there is a mind, there is a God, someone who has put this world together. But is it God as we would know him, as Christian believers?
No, he's not saying he has turned to any particular faith or expression of that God. He is also not sure what he thinks about the miraculous. He doesn't think there's strong evidence for that. So at this stage, he's not looking at a God who's an interventionist God. But having said that, he is open. And as I said, his final statement, his final sentence is, who knows if I do not hear that voice in the future? And the interesting thing is the book concludes, Rodney, with a dialogue with the famous New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, who's been in Australia a number of times. And in that dialogue with N.T. Wright, N.T. Wright sets out the case for why Christianity claims that Jesus is God amongst us, and the case for the resurrection of Jesus. And Anthony Flew finds this a compelling case. He hasn't walked... he hasn't made the commitment yet to Christianity, but he says Christianity is a religion of great honour and respect. He thinks it's the finest religion he has come across, and he is open to considering N.T. Wright's case for the resurrection of Jesus. He finds it compelling, and he puts it in his book as an appendix.
It is interesting, and I suppose we've got to say, here is a man who is looking at the evidence, continuing to look at the evidence with an open mind. He's not just decided, I'm an atheist and that's that. On the other side, we have people who are Christians who say, I am a Christian and that's that, who are not prepared to ask the hard questions. And I suppose what we've found in Anthony Flew is someone who continues to ask the questions. And when he asks those questions, he continues to be drawn towards the God of the Bible. As you say, he's not there yet, but he's drawn towards Jesus.
Absolutely. And as Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Christianity is not a faith of microwave brains. Christianity respects serious questions being asked. The disciples asked serious questions as to whether Christ had rose from the dead. Jesus gave them evidences. We rely on faith to bring us conviction. God moves in our hearts through the Spirit, but Christianity is not anti-intellectual. It puts its claims up for testing, and Anthony Flew is doing that. And with respect to the resurrection, he's particularly drawn to the evidence of the women alone, talk about Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection. They alone saw those three aspects. And as Wright says and Flew says, that's remarkable because they weren't allowed to give evidence in a court of law. You don't create stories with the women being your prime witnesses. Ring of truth. And we now know that people were buried in caves. They were wrapped up in clothes. They were buried. And when their bodies decomposed, they were then placed in another cave. We now know that's what happened in that world. It simply wasn't the disciples not finding the body of Jesus one day and believing. The body of Jesus, if he had not risen, would have been there for 12, 18 months, 2 years, lying in a cave. Anyone could have found it any time. It wasn't there. It was gone. Anthony Flew finds this sort of stuff compelling. He still hasn't crossed the line, but my gosh, mate, this is just a remarkable story.
Okay, the book is There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind by Anthony Flew. It's in bookstores now, and as you say, it's well worth the read. Tell me, where are we going to go this time next week?
We're going to have a look at miracles. A new survey out of America says 80% of Americans believe in miracles, angels, demons, and all sorts of things. Not necessarily going to church, but they believe. And as we said before, I don't think the West is a secular society. It is open to belief. I think the same thing could be said for Australia. 80% of the people believe in the supernatural.
Okay, Ross, I look forward to talking to you about that this time next week. Thanks for your company today.
God bless you, Robbie.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.